Great to be back here at ABC. It's been a little while. I always love coming up for Missions Conference. And for the last conference, I was on my way up here. And about halfway up, I live in South Carolina, driving on the interstate. And I get a call from our assistant director, Paul. And he says, "Dave, I'm really sorry to call and tell you this, but yesterday I was having some cold, you know, flu-type symptoms, and I thought, you know, I better get tested." And so he got the test done and got the results back pretty quick, and he said, "Dave, I just got the results, and I'm positive." And I had just been with him, working in the office. We had been doing some classes and speaking together. And so I was like, oh man, I wasn't having any symptoms. But so I called Mr. Peterson and I said, "Hey, this is what happened." And we both agreed that probably the best thing for me to do is turn around and go back home. And so, you know, that's kind of part of our lives this past year with COVID. I didn't get it then. I did get it later. Thankfully, my symptoms were very minor and made a full recovery pretty quick. So all that to say, it's great to be here. I'm sorry I missed Dr. Anderson, but I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you today. And Dr. and Mrs. Anderson have been a tremendous blessing and encouragement to my wife and me over the years. And so we appreciate them greatly. I understand it's midterms, right, this week? So everybody hanging in there? I see some yeah, some no, not so much. But I hope midterms go well. Thankfully, those things come to an end, right? And then the semester is going along quickly. So serving God acceptably. I understand that this is kind of your theme for this year, and it's a great theme. And this morning, I want to focus on serving God acceptably by reaching the unreached. And so to kind of bring a missions thrust and focus, I want to start out with asking the question, what is it that we are not seeing? How is our perspective skewed in some ways where we're seeing partial things, but maybe we're not seeing the whole picture? Maybe this slide takes you back to your childhood. Any Finding Nemo fans? My daughters love Finding Nemo. I couldn't tell you how many times that movie played in our home as they were growing up. And of course, this slide is taken from the scene where Nemo is being disobedient. He's leaving the drop-off and the safety of the reef, and he's going up, and to his friend's astonishment, he swims all the way to the boat, and he touches the boat, but of course, they got a different name for it. He touches the butt, right? And of course, kind of the genius of the movie is, what would our perspective and our life be if we were a fish? If you're a fish, all that you know is below the surface. In regard to boats, all that you've ever seen is the underside of a boat. You've never seen what happens inside the boat or on top or what is it like. And so from the perspective of a fish, you're limited and just seeing below the surface. I think in some ways our view of eternity and heaven is kind of that way. Now, thankfully, God has revealed a lot to us in His Word about heaven. And I'm so thankful for that. And eternity. And we know that our ultimate purpose on our life on this earth is for God's glory. And we know the ultimate purpose for eternity in heaven is also going to be for God's glory. And so, but at the same time, even though we know a lot, we study God's Word, there's excellent series and books, and we've all heard sermons on heaven and eternity, our perspective is limited. There's a lot of questions. I was just listening to some podcasts about, you know, what will heaven be like? How will we interact with others, those that we know on earth? How are those that are now ahead of us. What do they know about things on this earth? And so there's some things that we don't know. But in Scripture, we're being taught that if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's the passage that we reflect on. Set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. And so Paul teaches us we need to be mindful of it. We need to be thinking about it. We need to be investing the time and resources that we have now for eternity. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Why? Because that's where moth and rust doth corrupt. Nothing on this earth lasts. Solomon in Ecclesiastes, who had everything, who had experienced everything that this life can have to offer, he said it's vanity. Anything of this earth will not last. It's meaningless. And so Jesus teaches us, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Anything that we invest and lay up in heaven, there is no moth nor rust to corrupt. There is no corruption. It will last forever. We also see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, all of us know this. I'm pretty confident that every one of you have heard these passages, have studied these passages, have been in classes or heard sermon messages that have focused on these passages. But if you're like me, I have to constantly remind myself and discipline myself and train myself to think this way. Why? Because we're human. We're in a real world with real lives, with real problems, real things that have to be taken care of. And so we're going through life in those things, taking care of our classes, making sure to get our studies done, working, fulfilling those responsibilities. And yet, Scripture teaches us we need to train ourselves that while we need to be responsible and diligent in the things of earthly matters, we don't want to just ignore those things, but we need to train ourselves to think in each and every day in priorities that I'm living and investing and preparing for eternity. Randy Alcorn says it this way, life on earth is a dot. It begins, it ends, it's brief. Life in heaven is unending like a line extending from the dot. And so while our lives in that dot, while those are important, they're real, there's all kinds of things that are happening there that demand our attention and our focus, Scripture teaches us that we need to constantly remind ourselves that real life, eternity, extends so much more than that. That in perspective, the things that we're enduring, the trials, the difficulties, is just a dot. And so while the reality is we all live in the dot, if we're wise, we're going to live for the line. And living for the line is consciously, intentionally thinking about how am I living my life? How am I using my time and my resources to invest in eternity for the glory of God that's going to bear fruit forever. It's going to continue on into eternity. So how do we do that? How do we live our lives to invest in eternity? And I know you guys know the answers to this, right? So it starts out by living lives that are honoring and glorifying to God. It starts out by producing the fruit of the Spirit that we see in Galatians chapter 5. Producing that fruit gives glory to God. It also involves carrying out the Great Commission wherever we are, sharing the gospel with others, being engaged in what Jesus has called us to do in making disciples. When we make disciples, that's fruit that remains, that carries on for eternity. And then this morning, I want to particularly challenge you regarding another aspect, another element, something that you could put on your list as you hold yourself accountable and you think about each and every day, am I being wise? Am I investing in eternity? Am I living for that line? Is thinking about nations, groups of people, people groups, and especially unreached people groups. And we see the sense from Scripture that heaven is about God's glory, about God receiving the glory that He deserves, and there's this distinct connection between God's glory and the nations. We see that in Revelation chapter 5 and in chapter 7. And we see this snapshot, this picture of heaven, where the hosts of heaven are together. And there in chapter 5, verse 9, they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." I love that relatively new song, "Is He Worthy?" Yes, Jesus is worthy. Jesus is the only one that is worthy to open the seals. And we see that Jesus and the Father are going to receive the glory that they deserve for all of eternity. But what's fascinating, and it's not just Revelation, I think you can even trace it to Genesis and God's command to Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And how He repeated that command to Noah and his family. I believe from the very beginning, nations of people was part of God's plan. Why? For His glory. Because God deserves all of the glory. And so if we're thinking intentionally and planning about, okay, how can I live my life responsible on this earth, taking care of the things that I need to, but having a heavenly focus, investing in eternity, I think the nations has to be part of that. I think that's got to be part of the formula. And so, what are we willing to do to reach the unreached? And I want you to think intentionally about this as you go through your Bible college training and preparation, and then whatever ministry God calls you to, whether it's teaching or pastoring or camp ministry or evangelism, maybe missions. Missions, it's easier to make the connection because typically we think we put this in the missionary category. But I think this is something for all of us to be thinking about. How can I be engaged and play a role in this? For me, as it was shared earlier, I grew up on the mission field. And I was excited. I worked in business for several years, but then God called my wife and I back to the mission field. And I've had the blessing to work in business, to be a pastor here in the States, to now be a mission director. But probably one of the most fulfilling, satisfying things that God has allowed me to do was to serve as a missionary in Papua New Guinea among the Kalam language group or the Simbai people group, and to go to villages and to share the gospel with those that hadn't heard, to be engaged in making disciples of teaching. And of course, that involves a lot of work, of learning the language, understanding their worldview, getting to know them, and just continuing to teach them God's word so that they understand it and then hopefully embrace it, and to disciple new believers, to baptize them. And then we had the privilege and joy to see small village churches started. Nothing fancy, not any nice buildings, but most of the buildings were just basically grass huts. But to see indigenous churches established and to go back and visit and see those churches standing on their own, self-supporting, self-propagating, and continuing to go forward. And so this has been a special blessing for me. And I hope and pray that among the ABC student body, God is going to call out some of those to go and to reach unreached people groups. But maybe for a lot of us, when we think about unreached people groups, and I know here at ABC, this is a focus, you hear a lot about it, you've seen the statistics of almost 50% of the people groups are still unreached. And if you're like me, that gets overwhelming. And it can be intimidating. And you think about the world map, and that red there highlighting the areas of the world where most of the unreached people groups still are. And you think about North Africa, and the Middle East, and South Asia, and those places are so hard to get to as missionaries. And there's all kinds of opposition, all kinds of things that are going on. And so sometimes it thinks like, wow, that is such a big task. Those focused people groups that still haven't heard, how can we even reach them? And I'm pretty confident that God hasn't called me to be one of those missionaries that goes. So how does this really impact me? Well, I think there's things that all of us can do to be engaged in reaching these unreached people groups for the glory of God. We think about models. So what are some strategies? And if you're in a missions class, these are probably some things that you've studied and talked about. And so a model that's been used over the years is a pioneering, or sometimes it's called a parachuting model, where the team consists of pioneering Western missionaries that, in a sense, drop behind enemy lines. And they do the groundwork of learning the language and understanding the worldview and starting those early foundational works of evangelism and disciple-making and planting indigenous churches. Today, to reach these areas, a lot of creative strategies are needed. And so we see business as mission, or sometimes, a lot of times, referred to as tent-making or bivocational missions. And so we see teams being creative, taking business, taking missions, theology. We see more students getting the missions and the theology and the pastoral training, as well as picking up other skills in particular areas, maybe teaching English and things like that. And so we see this model. And a lot of times we think, well, okay, if I don't fit that model, then I'm not sure what my role is. We see other models that I'll refer to as partnering models. And it starts out by asking, what is God doing already? And when we think, okay, these are the red areas, they're unreached, so probably nothing happening. And the reality is, a lot of times things are happening. So it's asking, what is the Holy Spirit doing already in these areas, finding the edge of the church, good Bible preaching, conservative, solid churches, and partnering with them in a lot of different ways. And with the technology that we have, there's so many great and creative opportunities to partner and then see the gospel advanced and see these churches go into the unreached areas and plant new churches. And business as mission is being used in these areas as well. When we think about just these two strategies in general, kind of see the pioneering model being more used in island areas like the Comoros Islands off of Madagascar, in parts of the Middle East. We see the partnering model being used more in South Asia. You think of China and India and Myanmar. And then we see kind of a combination used in the Asia-Pacific Rim, kind of a combination of the models. And so God is at work, and it's exciting to see the opportunities and how things are going forward. I want to talk a little bit and focus on Myanmar, because you've probably heard Myanmar has been in the news a lot the last few weeks. And God has given me an opportunity in our mission to partner and just see some really exciting things over the last 6 years. And what's been neat is churches, Bible preaching churches, coming together, starting their own mission agency. And in the last 6 years, a total of about 50 missionary families going from regions where the gospel is to the Shan state, which is there in that circle, doing missions efforts among unreached people groups. People that have never heard the gospel, people that have never met a Christian, these areas that are the darkest and without any gospel light whatsoever. And so it's really exciting to see how God is blessing these missionaries as they target these 12 unreached people groups, using creative business as mission methods, music classes, a sewing center that God is really best, computer classes, agriculture, and then combining that with creation seminars, chronological Bible teaching, and doing village evangelism. And just seeing how God is blessed and the opportunities that we have to partner with them. My last international trip was just over a year ago, right before COVID hit. I was in Myanmar, up in that area of Shan State, meeting with a group of about 20 national missionaries, doing classes, teaching on missions, hearing their testimonies, hearing how God had called them, and being fully supported by churches there in Myanmar, not supported by any churches here in the U.S., and being sent 400 to 500 miles among these unreached people groups. And a lot of these minority groups, they don't even speak Burmese. So trying to learn some of those languages and making inroads and connections with these people to reach them with the gospel. And I want to show a video, just 5 minutes, of a video that they made in November, and just sharing about the missionaries, the unreached people groups that they're ministering to, the creative methods that they're using, and how God is blessing. And that video they did in November, and after it's done, I want to tell you just a little bit about what happened over Christmas, and then if you've seen in the news with the military coup, everything that's going on right now. And so it gives you a picture of how God is at work and using these relatively new missionaries from churches there in Myanmar that God has sent to reach these unreached people groups. Over Christmas, they called it their Christmas celebration. And this was unique because just more than 5 years ago, they really couldn't even celebrate Christmas publicly. But this year, they were able to go in among these unreached people groups and present the gospel to what they estimate over 2,500 people hearing the gospel for the first time. 23 new believers were baptized and over 3,000 pieces of gospel literature. And then if you saw in the news about 3 weeks ago, the military said, no, we're taking over, back control, arrested the president. And just to give you a little bit of history, Myanmar had been under military dictatorship and control for decades. They had had elections, and they would just basically throw out the election. But then about 6 years ago, a lady won the presidency, and she was allowed to set up her government. And over the last 5 to 6 years, they've had economic prosperity, just freedom. Even citizens could travel throughout the country, where before you couldn't do that. So that limited reaching these unreached people groups. And so for the last 6 years, God has just blessed in amazing ways. And then in November, they had an election. The lady was reelected with 80% vote. And then just 3 weeks ago, the military, and from all accounts, seems to be backed by the Chinese Communist Party, just has taken total control, shut everything down, arrested the elected officials, and there have been just massive protests. If you can imagine 80% of the people voting and then the military saying, no, we're going to set up our own government, there's just been massive protests. And unfortunately, some of the protesters have been killed. It's just a dire situation in Myanmar right now that has just happened in these last couple of weeks. And so I ask you as students, pray for Myanmar, pray for these unreached people groups, that God will in some way bring a peaceful resolution. The missionaries that I'm communicating with and the national workers there saying, you know, most people are hoping that the UN will do something, or they're hoping that America or the European Union, and yet we know that it's probably going to be an act of God, the Lord, intervening on their behalf. And so when we think about reaching the unreached, If there are those among you that say, you know what, I think God may be calling me to go in a pioneering sense to those that have never heard, I want to encourage you. I would love to talk with you. I'm going to be staying on campus today and want to be an encouragement and pray with you. If you're thinking, that's just not me, God has not called and gifted me in that way, I want to challenge you, make unreached people groups, kind of add that to your list of this is going to be priorities. And maybe God won't be calling you to go, but choose an unreached people group. Take advantage of resources like the Joshua Project. Pray for that people group by name. Find out the efforts that are going there. Right now, our brothers and sisters in Myanmar need our help, and we can partner with them through prayer. And so there's all kinds of opportunities to partner in technology, to partner in helping with projects. And I want to encourage you, keep unreached people groups on your radar, even if it's just one. Pray for one by name and be engaged and be part of seeing them reached with the gospel. And don't be overwhelmed by just the enormity of the task. But say, God, I want to live my life. I want to be producing the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I want to be engaged in making disciples right where I'm at. And then I want to lift up my eyes to the fields and see the nations that are unreached and recognize the connection of the nations to your glory. And I want to be a part of that. And if I can help you or encourage you in any way, I would love to do that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, our desire is that you receive all the glory that you deserve. And Lord, our hearts, we pray for the unreached people groups, that all of them will hear the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you will stir each of our hearts in the role and the part that we can play. I pray for Myanmar at this time that, Lord, you will just intervene, bring peace. Lord, I pray that you will continue to keep the doors open so that the gospel can be advanced. We just pray for the protection and the help of our brothers and sisters in Myanmar today. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.